those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I am Henry Quinka. My show is about passion and inspiration. We examine lives of people who are driven by a compelling sense. Today's guests, we bring together two women who in their own right grew up having challenging childhoods. One became a mother of a deaf child, and the other, mother to a son who is autistic with mild cerebral palsy. Both of these women learn from life's most difficult experiences to love and endure while preparing themselves for their life's vocation of helping others. I'd like to welcome you two to our show today, Kat Lawrence, who is the Executive Director of the Rowell Family Empowerment, and Monica Toma, also from the same institution. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This beautiful Reading day.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm truly inspired by you folks, and I wonder if we have so many ways to start this program. There's so many things that we can talk about, but I think that let's start, Kat, in telling us about your foundation or the Rowell Family Empowerment.
Okay, sure. Rowell Family Empowerment is named such because a friend of mine, Debbie Rowell, started the agency in Butte County, California, back in 1995 around her kitchen table with a few other parents, and decided that there needed to be some support services for children that were born with needs. And she started the agency from that premise. And then
this was like when?
In 1995.
Uh-huh. So it's a relatively new organization.
Pretty much. It's a relatively new organization. And basically, I was doing some mentoring work for her, and she convinced me that I needed to open an office in Redding because currently there was only one in Paradise, California. And hesitantly, I got involved, and then...
Good decisions are always tough decisions, aren't they? Yes.
It was tough. I was in a job that I loved as well, so it was hard. And then while we were writing the grant to open the Reading office, she passed away suddenly.
Oh.
So that's hence how I ended up as the executive director, and we renamed the agency Rowell Family Empowerment in her honor.
How wonderful. What is the mission of your organization?
The mission of the agency is to empower parents of people with, it's to empower people with diverse abilities in their families to live included through support, education, and advocacy services.
Mm-hmm. And geographically, you cover what sort of an area?
Well, some programs cover from down into Sacramento, all the way up to the Oregon border, over to the coast, and to the Nevada border. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, we're going to accept callers. So if you'd like to call, you can dial in at 530-605-4567, or you can send us an email at kcnr1460am.com. Tell me a little bit how you met Monica.
Well, Monica came to the agency for assistance for her son, and she probably could tell that story even better than I could.
I came as a volunteer, actually, helping with making phone calls to families, and did that for a little while. I covered for Barbara when she was out, and she was our receptionist at the time, and did that for about 3 months, and then just started working there more and more, and they had me stay on, and they interviewed me, and I just
and
started
that was
working
it.
There.
So you were a good show. I'd like to get into a little bit of your backgrounds, and I think we're gonna hold that. We need to take a break. So as soon as we come back from our break, we're going to start getting into the things that make you women what you are. And again, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
Talk about customer service. Well, Kathy Larson from the Bay Area found Crown Motors on the internet, and Kathy says, I couldn't find what I was looking for, so I got on the net and Crown popped up. So I called them, told them what I wanted and the price. In 20 minutes, they had the car, and it was delivered to my house that evening. I'm very pleased, and so are we, Kathy. And remember, as dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we sell them. And check us out online at crownmotorsreading.com.
Have you put your name on your to love and to take care of list lately? At the House of Conscious Living Yoga, we offer you a space for a well-deserved time in. You will be welcomed by the warmth and kindness of a yoga community here to make you feel safe and cared for. The House of Conscious Living Yoga is a place for healing. Our yoga mat will help you rediscover your own power to design your life in every way. Need to strengthen your body, calm your mind, or lighten your heart? You have come to the right place. Non-competitive, medically knowledgeable and safe, therapeutic and caring are just some of the words used to describe the House of Conscious Living Yoga professional staff. New to the studio? Receive your first five classes for only $25. Visit our website, consciouslivingyoga.com, for all the information you'll need to get started on your path toward a healthier, happier, more vibrant life. consciouslivingyoga.com, 246-7256.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and my guest today, Kat Lawrence and Monica Thomas. I was going to ask if you could give us a general background of, you know, where you're from, the family life, and those sort of things. Monica, if you could start that for us.
Yes, I was born in Albany, Oregon in 1966, and met my husband, and then we moved here to California. I had a really wonderful childhood. My parents were absolutely great caretakers, and they were teachers, and my dad taught for 30 years science and math, and my mom stayed home with us and ended up then going back to school and teaching. And I think the gifts that they gave us was the gift of time and a belief, a religious belief, and just the endurance to live life and overcome any obstacle that would come in our way. Mm-hmm. And so I've used that greatly. I've leaned on that greatly throughout my life, and it's given me what I needed today to be the parent that I am and the person in the community that I am. So.
Okay. Kat, you're from Southern California, are you not?
I am.
There are so many Southern California up here in Redding, let me tell you.
It's true.
Tell us.
Well, I was born in Norwalk, California, which is Los Angeles County.
Oh, absolutely.
And
McDonald's.
Pardon?
McDonald's.
Yeah. And was raised in Redondo Beach, Torrance, Lomita area down there in the South Bay. And I've lived in a variety of places around the state. I grew up there. I had my daughter there. And decided I didn't really want to raise children in Southern California. So we moved up to Eureka, Humboldt County, and lived there for a few years. My oldest son was born there. My husband got a job in San Jose. We moved down there. So we've kind of lived all over the state. Brought me to Redding was basically looking for a rural area to live that had some job opportunities in the 80s. So I've been here ever since.
Your mother was a registered nurse and a great inspiration to you, wasn't she?
She was. It wasn't a day and a time when I grew up that most women worked out of the home. But my mom was a registered nurse and a director of nurses, and so definitely she worked out of the home. My father worked as well, but he did a majority of caretaking oftentimes. She worked swing shift. He'd make dinner and get us to bed. And I was a Catholic family. I grew up with, there were six brothers and sisters.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Another thing that you don't find very common these days.
No.
And how would you characterize your childhood?
Well, how would I characterize it? Well, I guess I went to Catholic school. So my parents were very much Catholic, very strict. I think the way my mother inspired me was that I felt by watching her do what she did that there were opportunities for women out there, and went to college early on, did that kind of stuff. So, you know,
I was raised Catholic as well. I didn't know that about you.
I didn't know that about you either.
Yeah, yeah, I went to school as well. So
yeah. Monica, tell us a little bit about your earlier years and not having heat in the house.
Oh, yes. Well, my dad was a teacher. I was one of four children. So he had to make our money stretch for quite a while. And in Oregon, you get cold, damp, dreary days for a long time. That's one reason why I wanted to move to California. I like the blue sky. And so there were a lot of times that he would save money by not turning the heat on. We'd have a wood stove downstairs, but I would get dressed under the covers upstairs in my bed along with my siblings just so that it was still warm, and we'd put the clothes right next to our bed and jump in our clothes and then go off. And we were a little wrinkled, but I was warm, so that's what mattered.
Monica, you had said that your early childhood days were difficult. Mm-hmm. Was it more than the heat?
Well,
or lack of heat.
Yeah. I think I choose to look at this is one thing my parents taught me. I choose to look at all obstacles as learning opportunities. And we were exposed. My father had an addiction to alcohol, and that would happen every night. We were fortunate that he would hold down his job. He would go back into work the next day, and he would keep doing that. But when he would come home at night, he would like to drink, and it affected the whole family. And
I would imagine. You had how many siblings?
I have two sisters and a brother.
Mm-hmm.
So
this was a 7-night-a-week ordeal.
It was.
Must have been very, very difficult for all of you.
Well, it was. I think for me as a young woman, I wanted to have, or young girl, excuse me, to have friends over. And a lot of times I did not do that because of embarrassment. And so I just went to school and made friends there, and it was kind of a space. You know, I kept mm-hmm. my friends at school. But I learned to overcome it, and I made the choice to not recreate that in my household.
So who held the family together?
My mother was incredibly strong. She was very forgiving, very loving, and pressed in. And like Kat mentioned, and I mentioned as with a Catholic background, she stayed strong and true to that. And her wedding vows meant something to her. And that shine very big in my eyes.
And I think you've even referred to her as a saint.
Yes, right? She is.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
She's a mentor for me. She endured many things with my dad growing up, and just watching her just shine. I mean, it would be difficult, but you would see her smile and pick herself up and carry forward, even with four children in the house and not knowing the next day what would take place, she kept going. Mm-hmm. And the strength, the beauty of her strength is what I picked up from her.
And that has permeated itself into to your living guidelines, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's helped me a great deal. I mean, my dad had a strength, my mom had a strength, and I kind of blended the two. And I have relied on that very heavily. Mm-hmm.
Your mother seemed to have been just pretty much doing everything that moms do, like picking you up at the bus and
yes.
making lunches. And
she was always there. She was there until I was in high school. She went back to school and got her degree. And
so she also had a teaching degree.
Yes, uh-huh. She went back to school, yeah, uh-huh. And is now still teaching at 72 kindergarten.
Wow.
So she's a great role model.
There's hope for people that are 72.
Yes, she's Doing great.
And, Kat, we're going to get into a little bit of your background, but I think we need to take a break right now. And this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Looking for a special getaway? Looking for a destination where you can enjoy five-star cuisine, award-winning wines, and breathtaking views? Well, just a short drive from Redding, nestled in Inwood Valley, is Anselmo Vineyards. Anselmo Vineyards is celebrating with a special Easter menu. Saturday, April 7th, lunch and dinner, and Sunday brunch with rack of lamb. For reservations, call 474-5546. That's 474-5546. And don't forget the Spring Music Series, live music while you dine. Go to AnselmoVineyards.com to find out what winemaking dinners and specials are happening. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
KCNR, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca with our guests, Kat Lorenz and Monica Toma. Kat, you also grew up in a situation where there were drugs and alcoholism in the family. Could you tell us about that?
Well, sure. You know, this is going to be telling up my age. Unlike Monica, I didn't name the year I was born.
Yes.
But, but I grew up at a time, you know, in the 60s when things were tumultuous in our country. And I had an older brother and older sister, and I had a younger brother and two younger sisters. As I said, I came from a family of six children. So my older brother and sister definitely were introduced to drugs of the 60s. And at 18 years old, my older brother overdosed on heroin and died. And so I was 16 at the time. So
that must have just shook the foundation.
Definitely shook the foundation, especially because, you know, it was that time of in the world where, you know, I was getting into that whole activism part of the 60s. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually what led me into marrying my first husband.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Share some insight to that.
Well, he had a drug problem. And I think now in hindsight, because at, you know, 16, 17, 18, I didn't realize, but in hindsight and counseling, through counseling, I realized that I couldn't save my brother, and I felt some guilt from that. Mm-hmm. And so he became... My first husband became sort of a project that I wanted to save him from that kind of an end.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it was a very difficult experience. You've learned to sign language, and that obviously is a result of your son being born deaf. Can you tell us about that?
Well, actually, I learned sign language before I had my son. My youngest,
really? Huh?
Yeah. My youngest son is 27 years old and is deaf. He lives in Reno, Nevada. Hope, and maybe somebody's listening.
Yeah.
And share the show with him.
Yeah.
Anyway, my girlfriend, my very best girlfriend, who's still my best girlfriend in Southern California, had a son who probably would be about 38 years old now, 39. And he was born deaf. So it took us on a journey very early on, way back in the early 70s, of learning what that meant. And I learned to sign because he was my godson, and I learned to sign.
Do you still sign?
Of course, I sign fluently. And my youngest, so that was her oldest, who was friends with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And my youngest son at 27, it was very strange for me that I could possibly have a deaf son, given that my best friend had a deaf son. She actually was the one who convinced me that I was right in guessing that, because mm-hmm. she heard the sounds that he was making in the background on the phone and said, "Those are deaf baby sounds. I mm-hmm. totally remember them." And I said, "Wow, so I should sign to him."
Yeah.
She said, "Yeah, you should." And at the age of 2, when I finally sought early intervention, the early interventionists were stunned that he had a 75 sign word vocabulary at the age of 2. Mm-hmm. But I said, "Well, I just started signing. He picked it up. He loved it."
Really? Just like that?
Yeah. So.
Monica, you, both of you are educated ladies, right? I mean, you have, can you tell us of your educational background, Monica?
Yeah, I have a degree in business, and I went right from high school to college and got that degree. And then later I realized that business is nice, it's helpful, but I like people, and I want to spend more time with people, and I especially like children. Mm-hmm. So I got a child development degree later. I worked with Head Start. And while I was working with Head Start, I got a degree, and it was nice because they intermingled the both, so mm-hmm. I didn't have to give up my job to go to school.
Oh, that was nice.
It was great.
They're a great arrangement.
Yeah, I don't know if they're still doing that. I, mm-hmm. you know, did that in Oregon, so it was a great way to learn a lot, and somebody came in and observed me, and I got a degree while doing it. So
well, good for you.
Yeah.
Kat, you also have a couple of degrees.
I do. My first one was in child development. When I had my daughter, I wanted to do things different than my parents, but I wanted to learn about how children develop and grapple with how I was going to raise my kids. So I started early when she was born, and got a degree in child development. And it's almost like my children led my educational career. My daughter was a tough little one, and I learned a lot from her and continue to, actually, and her son, who's going to be 5 here in a few days. And then my older son was born and had some behavior challenges, and I thought, oh, boy. So I went back and got a degree in behavioral science at Humboldt State. And so I was using that sort of as in a social work kind of way. And then my youngest, who you heard was deaf, was born. And I, too, was working at Head Start at the time. Uh-huh. And I, too, was able to get my education and still continue my job. Mm-hmm. And that was here at Chico State University. I got a master's in special education while working at Head Start. Mm-hmm. And so... that's mm-hmm. kind of the journey. I figured if I was going to be in special education, I might as well learn more about it.
Well, you both done a respectable job. Monica, you refer to a period in your life of going through the dark days.
Yes.
And could you tell us that whole situation from the time that you learned that you were pregnant and absolutely ecstatic?
Well, yes. I guess my pregnancy was... perfect. Apgar scores were perfect when my son was born. So there really wasn't anything, a telltale sign that there was anything going on. The only thing that the doctors pointed out was his circumference of his head was a little bit small. So we kept an eye on that. But I think what contributed to the dark days was we had just moved from Oregon, from my family, and moved closer to where my husband's family was. And Alex was 1, and he hadn't been diagnosed yet. And
so were there any signs at that point? Did you see any signs?
You know, motherly instinct. Uh-huh. I could tell at 6 months something was not right. He was more interested in fans than looking at me. His smiles wasn't cooing a lot, making noises, and he wasn't tracking with his eyes. So those were telltale signs for me, but nothing that a doctor was saying to me. And then we moved to California, and then that's when everything started happening and unraveling. And we
right here in California, here in Redding,
El Dorado County.
El Dorado County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we were there for 2 years, and we went to the doctor, and the pediatrician said, you know, there's something going on. We need to look into this deeper. And so we had an MRI about when he was 19 months.
Mm-hmm.
and that revealed more.
And what specifically did it reveal?
He has a rare brain disorder of polymicrogyria, which means many small folds in the frontal lobe of his brain. It is a rare brain disorder. And that's what we knew at that time. And then cerebral palsy came shortly after.
Alex is how old now?
I'm going to tell you 11, but he's going to tell you 11 and a half. He'll be 12 the end of this month. So he's going to be 12 very soon.
I have a lot of questions that I know our listeners want to know, but I think that we need to take a break right now. And so this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media, and we're going to be right back.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Redding Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Redding Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Redding Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Redding Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Redding Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Rayleigh's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy. We deliver fuel to your home for all your heating needs.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Spring is back, so to get you motivated, we got the ethanol-free 93 for all the weed eaters and lawnmowers. For all the folks with hot rods getting ready for cool April nights, stop by and pick up some high-octane race fuel. If you're wanting to burn brush or just clean up around the house, we sell red diesel in 5-gallon pails. Barbecue season's just starting, so fill up your 5-gallon bottles and keep an extra one at the house so you don't run out on Sunday. Northern Lights Energy, for home, ranch, farm, and construction, a little bit of logging. If you need it, we bring it. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we are interviewing two very mighty women from the Roll Family Empowerment. And we're talking to Monica. And, Monica, I wanted to ask you, once it was confirmed of your son's autism, what emotion did that have leave with you? Or what kind of things did you deal with?
Well, first of all, a lot of tears. I had dreams. And, you know, I had to grieve. And I didn't have a lot of experience with grief. So I took time to do that. And my husband was very supportive through this whole journey. He's just been so strong. And we both had to grow through this together. And I think the thing that I had to finally realize is that I had to pick myself up. And I had to do something to help my son and be selfless and go out and get him involved in a program, get myself involved in a program, and meet other women, other mothers that were journeying through this. I had to put action into my feelings of dreams that were gone and help others. And that's how I really got through it, was to help others.
You know, it's very difficult. There are tremendous frustrations and challenges in raising an autistic child. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that it took Alex 2 years to learn how to chew.
Yes, it did. We had to go to a speech pathologist. He had low muscle tone in his oral area and in other parts of his body because of the cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And so in visiting with the speech pathologist, we had to stimulate his mouth while he was eating.
So he just didn't know how to chew.
He didn't. I would give him liquids and it would all come back out of his mouth. I had to thicken it with yogurt so that it would stay in so he would be nourished. Mm-hmm. And I had to feed him with a Haberman feeder, mm-hmm. which helped him eat better. So all these specialized equipment to get him to be nourished.
So you were able to give him the nutrition that he needed.
We did, yes. Mm-hmm. Not the way I wanted, but I had to, you know, find an alternative method.
Was there ever a hope that things would be better or self-correcting?
I had that hope, but I quickly realized that I had to just love my son for who he is and love my life for what it was and stop thinking about what I wanted and just accept what our life was and move forward.
You consider this whole circumstances of your family with Alex as a blessing.
Oh, yeah. He's changed me in so many ways. No doctor, no travel to a new country would ever give me what he's given me. He's given me the gift of people and humanity and the depths of humanity of when I see someone, that there's more to a person than we see on the outside, and the beauty of that person, and take time to get to know that person. And he sees the world so differently, mm-hmm. which is incredibly refreshing to me, to learn how he sees that and the patience that is required to get that out of him. And he has so much to offer the world. Mm-hmm. I see great potential.
Now, you said that after many years that he finally learned to apologize for something.
Yes, which, yeah, that was just recently.
He didn't know or understand apologies.
Right, and it was the day we were in his room and playing, and I was playing with him, and he accidentally, a truck hit me in the ankle, and I said, ow, and he kind of stopped, and he thought, and I was rubbing it. And he was observing, you know, the whole process. And I said, Alex, that really hurt. And he was looking at my face. And so he was making a connection. And he said, Mom, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, that's everything. That's all I needed to hear. That it was a milestone.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a milestone.
After
for us.
11 years.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it must have put enormous strain on you and your husband to stick with it and exude and learn the love and how this really, Alex was just a true, true blessing.
Yes, he is. And the patience, my husband has been awesome to watch my husband grow also and work with him one-on-one. And my husband's phenomenal. It takes a very incredible person to have this patience. I came from an early childhood background, and he came from a recreational management background, so mm-hmm. very different. So a lot of these skills he had to learn mm-hmm. Through this journey. And my husband is incredibly gifted with mechanics and how things work. And my son has picked this up as part of
wonderful.
His character.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things early on that Alex had noticed with the sink, he was more interested in how it worked. He wanted to know where the water was coming from instead of, for me, just turn on the faucet and it, and
sure.
there's
it's
water.
There, right, like milk from
yes.
a cow. Yeah.
And I could care less where yeah. it's coming from. But he needed to know that, and so we had to talk about the dam and go on a tour of the Shasta Dam and all that.
Wow, very good
yeah,
approach.
Very deep.
Kat, raising children with these special needs brings a whole different dynamic to living. How is it that your organization helps parents and families like Monica's?
Well, the first thing I want to say is Yahoo Alex. Empathy established.
I know.
For children with autism, that's one of the biggest challenges is trying to teach them about others, you know, and mm-hmm. empathy and seeing outside themselves. And mm-hmm. obviously, Monica has done a great job at doing that.
Thank you.
So what we do is we assist families in navigating systems that they need in order to raise their children, whether it be through the health care system, which can be very challenging, or through the educational system, which also can be challenging. We teach them what they need to know to be able to greet those systems. They specifically, we help them get information as well about their child's abilities and needs, and so they can grapple with that at first. The grief so many of us have experienced it, that we allow them that space as well when they come in, that it's okay, that it's normal and natural, and that they will be able to go forward. And we, you know, again, our mission is to help them to feel empowered to be able to do what they need to do for the sake of their children.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful organization. Mm-hmm. We're going to need to take another break right now, but we're going to be back. Don't go away. And again, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you. Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Hi, it's Charlie Thompson. I'm here to get out the word on CVAC, Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council. We're a county-sponsored organization of all Shasta Veteran Service Groups. In fact, if you're a veteran or veterans group, you may already be a member. To learn more, visit us on the web at scvac.us. That's scvac.us. And then join us at a quarterly meeting and see how you can get more involved supporting your fellow vets. CVAC. Veterans helping veterans.
Freedom is the only thing. Can you handle the truth? Are you tired of the mainstream media spin? Do you believe that the economy is recovering? Are you prepared for the economic collapse that's coming? Are you prepared for hyperinflation? Do you think the government will solve your problems? Do you care about your children's future? Are you self-reliant? Will you fight for your freedom? Want solutions? Want the truth? Tune in to 1460 Sovereign Minds Radio now at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings, where we always handle the truth.
On Sunday, every Sunday, tune in to Don Shulman and Judy Maxwell. We have fun. We talk about timely things, more informational. Let the others do all that political stuff. Let's just have a good time, talk about things we need to know. Every Sunday on KCNR, Don Shulman, Judy Maxwell. Listen in, call in. We'd love to have you listen to us.
Catch Don and Judy Sundays 10 to noon on AM 1460 KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we're talking to Monica Toma right now. And Monica, I wanted to ask where you get your inspiration.
Well, my mom, and I'm blessed that I still have her in my life, and she continues to inspire me daily. Of course, my father inspired me greatly. And they taught me, I think, to the love of the Lord. And that's where I go daily to get my strength. And that's truly what inspires me to keep going and to have hope for the next day. Mm-hmm. To keep going. And my husband and my son.
That's a lot.
Yes.
I know that that with Alex, treating Alex, that you and your husband essentially had limited opportunity to go out and do normal things.
Yes.
Like go to a restaurant or a movie and that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about the challenges that families meet with children that have special needs.
Well, with our children, I feel like I have an encyclopedia that if I have somebody new coming into my home, I have to train them on all the details of my son. It's not like somebody just can walk in off the street and watch him. It takes someone pretty skilled to do that. And so at Ralph Family Empowerment, I oversee a program, a respite program for families where they can get this relief. And we have folks that have CPR, first aid, and we offer a inspiration meeting for our individuals to attend to that program so that they can go out and feel more empowered to helping families. And it covers 5 hours with Debbie Whitmer, and she's a teacher at Shasta College, Dr. Karen Crum, and there's mandated reporting, and there's a seizure DVD. So there's information.
Boy, there's a lot of stuff that goes on there.
There's a lot of things to help the families or to help the providers.
I remember when I was approached by Regional Center, Far Northern Regional Center, to do respite, and I thought, no way, that sounds really complicated. I'm not sure that we want to get involved in that. And thank goodness that we met Monica, and that she's able to run that program because she has such a heart for it. And we think that the reason that we've been as successful as we have with running a respite care program is because it's all parents. I mean, she mentioned people, but it's all parents of children with needs who are the instructors, who are the people who are running it, and the people who are matching parents. So I think it's the backbone of our agencies is that we're parents helping parents. And
how many families do you serve?
Well, you know, we probably serve new, and of course we have to track all that data, things that are required for grants and such. And so new families that come in, there's usually between 600 and 700 per year, but then the times we help them, when we track those duplicated accounts, you know, it's into the thousands.
Oh, my goodness.
Thousands.
Really? And you have a staff of how many?
Well, we have two offices, one in Chico and one in Redding, and we probably have... If we looked at full-time, it would be something like 12. There's a lot of part-time people because, again, hiring parents of children with needs, we balance, you know. A lot of them can't work full-time, and so we try to balance by hiring lots of part-time folks. So it just basically is what makes
it. It's a very gratifying feeling. It has to be going to work every day.
Very gratifying.
Monica, I know that one of your persistent dreams is to inspire people. And I also know that you served as a missionary in Kentucky. And I'd like to know a little bit more about how that all came about.
It came about through a friend. I was actually a nanny in New Jersey, and I had run into a friend at that time. And she gave me some paperwork on this program that one of her family members had attended. And I worked in the Appalachian Mountains with children in a preschool setting. And we would actually pick them up and bring them in because a lot of their parents didn't have the funds to transport them into our program. And we offered them meals, and it was very much like Head Start for these families. And
how long were you in Kentucky?
Not long. 7 months.
7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, what sustained you?
Wow. That's a question.
Yes.
I think the families. The families. It is such gratifying work. You know, and I have an extremely supportive husband. I mean, I could never, in fact, he's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. When this job came open, I was like, no.
Must pay well.
Yeah, right. Non-profit, you know.
Yes, yeah.
That's exactly what it means. Without him urging me forward, I was convinced I didn't want to do this job, and he said, who else is going to do it? You know?
Wow.
I mean,
that's defining.
Yes. Yeah. And so I thought, well, okay. Debbie was going to do it, but she's not here anymore. So here I am. And sustaining the families. That's why, you know, I love to watch them get through the challenges, you know, and see that success and meet the challenge. I mean, you know, oftentimes there's shame and blame involved in parenting kids with disabilities because people don't understand what's in the background. And to watch families come in and to have that kind of, we get it, you know, and it's going to be okay, and you're going to get through it, and others are going to see this and understand it better because of that, it's an enlightening experience. It truly is.
No doubt.
We can be so much more effective to these families by walking it with them. Mm-hmm. And it's neat because they open up so much more and we're able to help them in other ways.
Right. No question. Now, Kat, I had noted that you had said that ever since you were a little girl that you knew that you wanted to help people.
I did. I think I...
When were those first thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. I think I tortured my little sisters and brother. I wanted to teach was the first thing. I loved teaching, and I loved... and so I would make them sit down and be my students. And, you know, they were always like, okay, all right, you know. And my mom encouraged what she saw in me. I can even remember her telling me, you know, since you're teaching, have you ever thought about special education? And I said, I'm not really sure I could do that because, you know, I don't know. It would be slower. I wouldn't get the gratification. I felt I felt sad that she was at a place in her life because she was ill and had dementia that she couldn't, she didn't know that I went forward and did the special education piece. And, you know, she saw it in me long before I saw it in me.
Well, it really sounds like your destiny was manifested in your emotion as a very, very, very young girl. Which, so you just basically lived it out, right?
I did. That's how I feel.
Monica? Did you have... Nope. We need to take our final break. And again, this is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media. And we're going to be right back. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Tough times don't have to mean bad times for those who choose to meet the challenges of today's business climate. Every Friday morning on KCNR 1460, we salute the spirit of innovation, discuss new ways of thinking, and celebrate success on Shasta Startup. Join us from 9 to 10 a.m. this Friday to hear how local established businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders are stepping up to get the job done. Brought to you by S.J. Denham Motors Chrysler Jeep. Shasta Startup, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Welcome back. This is Henry Quink again. And, Kat, we were talking at the break about special schools for children that have special needs. And you said that you had some insight to that. Could you share that with us, please?
Well, I think for the most part, I mean, my son is deaf and needed an interpreter at school. So that went without saying. It was a challenge here in Shasta County for sure. And he was raised here from the age of two on. So he went to school all here. One of my challenges was trying to be involved in the normal day things. So in high school, I thought, hey, I think I'll get involved in Sober Grad. You know, something that as parents, we all want our children to experience, you know, a good graduation, yet keep it safe. And so I got involved with the parents who I had not been involved with before. And there was a conversation happening that stung. And basically, they started to talk about how sports and arts and things were being cut back, and they really blamed special education. And I was like, wow, you know, so I got quieter, and they continued the conversation about how much money having these kids, you know, had in the schools took. And finally, I thought, okay, I can't sit on my hands and bite my tongue any longer. And so I said, you know, I need you to know that my son is deaf, and he has an interpreter, and that's probably an expensive thing to provide, but it gives him equal access to education and nothing more. And for me, it was hard. I have to be honest, I didn't go back to the next meeting for Sober Grad.
Oh, wow. Monica, tell us about some of the educational things that you are provided for Alex and some of the challenges.
With his diagnosis of autism, he has an IEP, and he attends Boulder Creek School, great school. We've been so happy with that school. And he is in a resource/special day class with a one-on-one aide. because he does need breaks out of the classroom. He gets speech during the day. He gets adaptive PE because of his cerebral palsy. And behavior support as well. He has a positive behavior plan, which is needed quite a bit. And he's changing, and school is probably the hardest part of his life. Mm-hmm. There's so many transitions during the day. And the staff, they're wonderful. The principal, everybody's been so supportive.
Monica, I know that your father was a guitar plucker. He was a country and western player. I mean, there was music throughout your whole family,
there
right?
There was lots of music.
Music.
My dad liked country music.
Yep, country music.
Yes, and he loved the guitar. And my mom was more of the classical background, and she would play opera in our home. And so I was, exposed to opera and that.
You had shared with me that, you know, the future dreams that you have are outliving your son, Alex.
Yes.
And also singing opera in San Francisco.
Well, yes.
And this is an enormous passion. I know that you're taking, you've taken lessons, you've sung in choir. And
yes.
And she was in a play. She was wonderful, beautiful opera singer.
Oh, thank you.
So we have a CD here of a song that you made for your father.
Right.
And I wonder if you can just tell us about the thoughts that went into this.
Yeah, it was Mother's Day in 2009, and my dad, I was out walking at Turtle Bay, and I had my cell phone, and he said, you know, Monica, I'd like you to sing Ave Maria at my funeral. And he passed away in 2011. And so in between that time, I had a little time to think about it, and I certainly didn't feel like I could do it live for him. And so what I came up with was I found someone that could record it in a studio, and I could do that without having all the emotion attached live. So I began recording that. And he actually got to hear it before he passed away, which was really a gift. He actually got to hear it for 3 months before he passed. So he had that opportunity.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in here and sharing deepermost things of your lives. And I think that we want to end this session with the song that you created for your father, you sang for your father, Ave Maria. Mm-hmm. So we're going to tune out with the song, and thank you very much for being my guest today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maria.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.